Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're blessed that you're listening to this broadcast and these messages that are brought to you by the Seed. If you don't have a home church, we invite you to come up and join us. The Sunday is coming up as Palm Sunday. What a wonderful time to come and join in the Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. At the Seed, we've been doing a series called The Presence, The Promise, The Power, and The Possibilities That God Gives Us. We've looked at the wonderful hope we have in the presence of God. During that first week, we heard the powerful passages that God is with us. He will never leave us. We don't ever have to be afraid. Last week, we learned to stand on the promises of God. This week, we're going to take a few moments and connect to the power of God. In my reading this week, I read a story about a young man by the name of Heinrich Schellmann. And on January 6, 1822, the wife of a poor German pastor had a son, never dreaming that he would one day achieve world-renowned and great wealth. When Heinrich Schellmann was 7 years old, a picture of ancient Troy in flames captured his imagination. Contrary to what many people believed, Heinrich argued that Homer's great poems of the Iliad and the Odyssey were based on historic facts, and he set out to prove it. In 1873, he uncovered the ancient site of Troy, along with some fabulous treasures, which, of course, he smuggled some of them out of the country, much to the anger of the Turkish government. Schellmann became a famous, wealthy man because he dared to believe in the ancient record and act on his faith. Well, it's my prayer that we can dig deeply into God's Word and find the truth of God's presence, promise, power, possibilities, and purpose all throughout the Scriptures. Let us listen to God's Word today as we turn to Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And I pray that we will hear these words and that we will let these words soak into our hearts and saturate our minds, that we may be able to understand and comprehend the deep, deep love of God found in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, may the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead fill our hearts and lives today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23. Listen along as I read these passages from the NIV. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23. Fred Craddock, a pastor and teacher, tells a story about a young pastor who goes to pray with an older woman. She's near death. She's in the hospital bed, lying on a pillow, gasping for breath. He visits with her, and then he says, I need to go, but would you like to have prayer before I go? And the older woman said, yes. And so the pastor says, well, what would you like for me to pray for you today? And she said, I'd like to pray to be healed, of course. The young pastor gasps a little bit, but he goes on, and here's his simple prayer. He says, Lord, we pray for your sustaining presence with this sick sister. And if it be thy will, we pray that she'll be restored to health and to service. But if it's not thy will, we certainly hope that she will adjust to her circumstances. Suddenly, the older woman, she jumps up, her eyes open, and sits up in bed. She throws her feet on the side of the bed. She stands up, and she says, I think I'm healed. And she strides out of the door of the hospital. The last the pastor sees, she's running down the hallway towards the nurse's station saying, look, look, look at me, I'm healed. The pastor goes down the steps, goes out of the parking lot, and before he opens the door of his car, he looks up to the heavens and says, don't you ever do that to me again. The poor young pastor was totally surprised by the power of God. Are you surprised by the power of God? We're talking about today the incomparable power of God. So often, I think we are like that late newspaper publisher, William Randolph Hearst, who invested a fortune collecting art treasures from around the world. One day, Mr. Hearst found a description of some valuable items that he felt he must own, so he sent his agent abroad to find them. And after months of searching, the agent reported that he had finally found the treasures. They were in Mr. Hearst's warehouse. Hearst had been searching frantically for treasures he already owned. Had he read the catalog of his treasures, he would have saved himself a great deal of money and trouble. Let us not miss the power of God in our lives. That's my so what question for you to think about today. How often do we miss the supernatural power of God in our lives? Today, we're going to ask and talk about power. What comes to your mind when you hear the word power? Yeah, I went to the web to look up the definition of power, and there were 3 billion different hits for power. There is even a Department of Water and Power here. What Paul gets to this section of this magnificent prayer, he prays that we will know the hope to which we have been called, and he prays that we will know the glorious riches of the inheritance. Then his prayer moves to power. He prays that we will know the incomparably great power for us who believe. The incomparably great power for us who believe. What do you know about God's power? What do you believe about God's power? Paul uses specific words to describe God's power by throwing in 2 Greek words together. Paul does that a lot in his writings. He takes 2 common, ordinary Greek words and he puts them together and he makes up a new word. When he uses the word here for incomparably great power, he puts 2 Greek words together, huper, which means over, and balo, which means to throw. So the word in Greek is huperbalo. And it translates, we try in our English to translate that Greek word into incomparable, exceedingly, immeasurable, to go beyond, to excel, to throw beyond, or to surpass. This is the same word that Paul uses to try and explain the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So what is the incomparable power of God? Maybe, Paul was thinking of all the stories that he had heard as a boy in his Sabbath school. Stories from the Old Testament scrolls that spoke about God's power. The power of God to save Noah and his family through building an ark before the flood and enduring the season on that ark and then rebuilding afterwards. The power of Joseph to interpret dreams for Pharaoh and to survive being sold out by his own brothers. The power of God in Moses and Aaron and the plagues to Pharaoh, the parting of the Red Sea, and the power of God in the deliverance of the Israelites into the Promised Land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. All millions of those people. The power of God given to a little shepherd boy by the name of David when he faced a giant by the name of Goliath with 5 smooth stones and a slingshot. The power of God when Daniel's trapped in a lion's den. The power of God when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in a fiery furnace. The power of God as God brought Jonah out of a belly of a whale and sent him to Nineveh to preach the good news of repentance. The power of God when the prophet Elijah confronts the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The power of God when he strengthens Esther as she's called to speak to King Xerxes. And the power of Ruth, a foreigner, to become a daughter in the line of the King of Kings. Paul uses four different words for power when he tried to describe this incomparable power. I'm going to digress for a minute, but I don't know if you ever watch TV or watch movies, but there's an old movie out called The Princess Bride. And in The Princess Bride, the man goes around going, "Inconceivable! Inconceivable!" And I think that's what Paul is trying to say here. This power is inconceivable. He uses a word, it's incomparable. Paul uses four words in this prayer about the power of God. He uses the word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamo or dynamite. This dunamis power is, he uses energia, which we get the word energy. It's the effectual working of the kratos, the might and strength of God. The last word that Paul used in this prayer is the Greek word iskous, and it means strength or ability and might and power. Paul tried his best. He tried his hardest to describe the amazing power that is available to anyone who believes. That's a powerful statement. I just used the word power, but that's a wonderful statement. I would encourage you to go this week and just read Ephesians 1, 15 through 23 over and over again. Read that prayer. It's a prayer that Paul prayed. He prayed for the church in Ephesus, but he prayed it for us, that we would come to understand the incomparably great power of God. When W.J. Bryan tried to describe the mystery of God's power in a lecture he gave on the price of peace, he used an illustration of a watermelon. Bryan said, "I'm not so much of a farmer as some people claim, but I have observed the watermelon seed. It has the power of drawing from the ground and through itself 200,000 times its weight, and when you can tell me how it's taken the material out of its colors and outside surface beyond the imitation of art, and then forms inside of it white rind and within again a red heart thickly inlaid with black seeds, each one of which is in turn capable of drawing through itself 200,000 times its weight. When you can explain to me the mystery of a watermelon, then you can ask me to explain the mystery of God." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we're talking about the incomparable, inconceivable, exceedingly abundantly power of God. Paul doesn't use a watermelon. He tells the faithful gathered to hear his prayer that this incomparable power is at work in us. That's profound. That this power, this incomparable power of God, is in us. And it's the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. Now stop. If you're driving, don't stop. But just stop and think about that for a minute. The power that is at work in you is the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. In the movie Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey goes around singing, "I've got the power, I've got the power." Isn't that what is wrong with our society today? We all go around thinking, "I've got the power." We tend to want to go in the power of our own strength, our own wisdom, and our own resources. So often, we go on our own attitudes and our own mindsets. We think we know what is best. And we act out of our fears and our frustrations. We do it my way. What is the surpassing greatness of God's power towards us who believe? Paul is talking about a divine, dynamic, eternal energy that is available to us 24/7, 365. John D. Rockefeller was the world's first billionaire. It is said that for many years he lived on crackers and milk because of stomach troubles caused by worrying about his wealth. He rarely had a good night's sleep, and guards stood constantly at his door. John D. Rockefeller was wealthy, but he was miserable. When he began to share his wealth with others in great philanthropic endeavors, his health improved considerably, and he lived to be an old man. I have a very good friend who spent several months helping his mom clean up his brother's estate. My friend's uncle passed away in his home. It was several days before anyone found him. He lived alone in an upstairs apartment that he owned. He was a bit of an introverted recluse who left behind seven different properties, three warehouses full of stuff, which included over 100 cars and trucks and 17 motorcycles, and enough car and truck parts to build a few more. He left quite an estate to his only surviving sister, now in her 80s. Listen to this. This man lived in an apartment without running water because he didn't want to pay a water bill. And yet he had all of these properties, all of these cars, all of these motorcycles, all of these things, and he lived like a pauper. I asked the question, what good is it to have wealth if you're too afraid to use it? Or if you're too afraid of someone stealing your wealth that you can't really enjoy it. So my so what this week comes, and the so what comes every week because you can read these words, and I encourage you to go read the words in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, but the so what is how do we apply them to our lives? This past week, I was working on different things for our leadership team at our church, the seed, and I came across some pretty interesting facts about seeds. Do you know that a turnip seed under good condition increases their weight 15 times a minute? And in a rich soil, a turnip seed may increase its weight 15,000 times in a day? There is no force more powerful than a growing squash. A squash that is 18 days old has been harnessed in such a way that in its growing process, it lifted 50 pounds on a lever. 19 days later, it lifted 5,000 pounds. Okay, we're talking a squash lifting 5,000 pounds. Do you know that in the medium-sized mustard plant, there are 85 pods? And the average number of seeds in each pod is 8. Since two crops in a given year mature, a gardener figured that it's possible in the interim between February and mid-October to produce a yield of 462,000 seeds, all from one original plant. Turnips and squash aren't alone either. Within every seed lies incomparably great power. The verse that the Seed Christian Church was founded on, and you listen week after week to the Seed of Faith, the verse that the Seed Christian Fellowship was founded on was, you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but imperishable through the living, enduring Word of God. Friends, this is what Paul is talking about. The same incomparably great power that lies within every earthly seed also lies within the living, enduring Word of God. It's my prayer, as one of your pastors, is that you'll come to know this inconceivable, exceedingly, abundantly, incomparably great power. That's my prayer, that you'll know that you can be born again. And listen, if you've never really accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be born again, it's simple. I always say it's easy to become a Christian. It's just difficult to live that out. But if you'd like to be born again, just ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins and ask Him to guide and direct your steps. Ask Him for the power to make the right decisions. The so what this week is that the power what is the power that you choose to live with? That's the so what question. What is the power that you choose to live with? What kind of power lives in your heart? What kind of power lives within each one of us? Do we live in the power of our own wisdom? Do we live in the power of our own strength? Do we live in the power of our own resources? Do we live in the power of our own choices? Do we live in the power of our own bitterness and brokenness? Do we live in the power of our fears and our frustrations? Or are we growing more and more each day in the incomparably great power of the living, enduring Word of God? I'm going to digress here. If you don't have a Bible, I will send you a Bible. Our church bought boxes of Bible, and we get boxes of Bibles, and we give them out. If you don't have a Bible, email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship, and we'll send you a Bible, so that you can have the power of God and the living Word of God in your hands. Have you ever thought about when you go through TSA sections at an airport, and they ask if you have any weapons, but you have your Bible with you? You have the dynamite of God with you that's going to go with you wherever you go. The Word of God is right here before us, and it is the seed that is promised to produce more than we can ask or imagine. Let's go back to our scripture for a minute and Apostle Paul. The early church in Ephesus was facing trials and persecution. They lived in fear. They lived in a city where the goddess Artemis was worshipped and glorified. The temple to Artemis was one of the seven wonders of the world at the time of Paul's writing. Whose power would these early believers turn to? Would they turn to the power of Artemis, or would they turn to the power of God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus who was raised from the dead? I don't know where you live. I don't know the idols in your area. But where are you turning to the power? Whose power will you turn to? That's the same old question all of these thousands of years later. It may not be Artemis today, but what power will you turn to? One day, on a New Year's Day, the Tournament Roses Parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit and was out of gas, and the whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With all its vast oil resources, this tiny little float in the Rose Parade was out of gas. I believe that as Christians, we have this vast reservoir full, overflowing, going beyond what we can ask or imagine, waiting for us to tap into. We have this incomparably great power at our fingertips, yet we often run out of gas. I believe that sometimes we're like the young pastor who goes to pray for someone, and then we're surprised at God's miracle working power. Or maybe we're like John D. Rockefeller, sitting at home worrying about our wealth and making ourselves sick, so sick that we're eating soda crackers and milk. How unfortunate it is to sit on a stockpile of power and never use it for the power of God. My prayer today is that the power lives within you. That's my prayer. May you find that power. Go and read Ephesians 1, 15 through 23 today. Trust and believe that the same incomparably great power that helped all of those people we talked about in the Old Testament will help you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for the inconceivable, exceedingly abundantly incomparable power of God to come upon us to do what you call us to do. May we turn to your living word and be born again. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.